This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, I don't know if you heard about the Twitter exchange that went on with the Israeli in space, which of course is Zohar the dummy, is on the Orion spacecraft. And apparently there was a whole Twitter exchange yesterday with Zohar, and Helga, the German dummy, was also involved, and apparently even the commander, in inverted commas, of the flight became involved in that. So a whole exchange of tweets on Twitter yesterday, just to try and obviously bring this amazing event to public view, to bring it into the area of social media, and to get people to see what really is quite an extraordinary mission that's currently going on with the three mannequins on board the Orion spacecraft. The mission is called Artemis 1, and is currently orbiting the moon. And of course, lots of pictures, selfies with the moon in the background and things like that, all of course very much manufactured by the various space agencies in order to try to bring this to attention. So quite an interesting thing for those people who like that sort of thing. And just a little piece of news from this morning, there were clashes overnight near Hebron. The vehicle of an IDF troop carrying vehicle broke down near to Hebron. IDF forces had to be sent in order to extricate the soldiers who were in that vehicle in an area called Beit Umar. Unfortunately, a gunman opened fire towards them. Stones were hurled. There were explosive devices involved. We understand that a Palestinian person was shot and killed in these clashes as a result of this incident. And so this is really the piece of news that's coming out this morning. And unfortunately, just so much volatility wherever you look, troops are involved, wherever Israeli civilians are involved, slightly outside of the central area, just a whole lot of tension and volatility. And every time even something as benign as a vehicle breaking down and people trying to get out of the local vicinity results in the death of somebody, it's all so sad and really unnecessary, but it is a very good indication, unfortunately, of the current situation that we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. Very, very precarious and quite worrying. Shas leader Aryeh Deri is reported to have shouted at Likud leader Benjamin Netanyahu, expressing frustration over broken coalition promises. Do we know what's going on here, what the obstacle is?
Well, apparently Deri said there is a crisis of trust between Shas and the Likud right now in the process of negotiating the coalition. And I think what's been happening is that because other parties have been reaching agreement with the Likud, as soon as the Likud negotiating team sees an opportunity to jump in and sign an agreement, then they become more inclined to give compromises. Mm. And in some cases, those compromises have already been promised to somebody else, but the somebody else is not as close to signing the agreement as they are. It's a case of a bird in the hand. And so those compromises are then kind of double promised and given up on. And Aryeh Deri woke up yesterday and discovered that some of the agreements that have now already been signed, particularly with the Otzma Yehudi party of Itamar Ben-Gvir and also with the Noam party, may well have given away things that Aryeh Deri thought Shas were going to get as part of the coalition agreement. And that, I think, is what brought on the shouting match yesterday, where he is reported to have screamed at Netanyahu, saying that there's a crisis of trust and that he can't trust anything that Netanyahu has been promising him, and that he's already given up on his demand of being finance minister, which is really what he wanted, in favor of probably taking over the Ministry of the Interior, as we understand it. But as time goes on and as agreements are reached with other parties, the ability of the Likud, the flexibility that they have to compromise, reduces because they have less cards to play and they're only able to play whatever's left on the deck after those agreements have been signed. And I think that because Shas is coming a little later in the day, they are feeling the pressure of the so-called crisis because bits are being given away to others as time goes on. So we understand that a good meeting was held yesterday between Likud and Bezalel Smotrich, and that apparently progress has been made. And it's clear, it should be clear to listeners that even though an agreement has been signed with Itamar Ben-Gvir, but his agreement is dependent upon agreements being reached with Smotrich and with the Noam party. So the Noam party is already signed, Ben-Gvir is signed, but subject to the Smotrich party coming into the Religious Zionist Party, coming into the coalition as well. The announcement from yesterday is that that there had been progress in negotiations overnight, and apparently they are on the threshold of signing an agreement and agreed on most issues. What's interesting is that one of the main obstacles, both with Shas and with the Religious Zionist Party, is the issue of the Knesset speaker. And while I'm not exactly sure what position each party is taking on the issue of the Knesset speaker, there seems to be some controversy around whether a replacement Knesset speaker can be appointed right away on a temporary basis. Some parties are taking one view, other parties are taking another view, and this seems to be something of a thorn in the side of the negotiations until such time as the appointment, because apparently the prime minister, the future Prime Minister Netanyahu, wishes to replace the Knesset speaker right away. The Religious Zionist Party have said that they're not opposed to the appointment of a temporary Knesset speaker, although that has been a point in their negotiations. Shas are very much apparently opposed, I believe, to the appointment of a temporary Knesset speaker, and it's not exactly clear to me why that is such a big issue. But when it comes to Ari Dery, apparently called Netanyahu and said that he'd given up the finance portfolio that was close to his heart. He's also given up on the Negev and the Galil, which allowed him to sign the agreement with Otzma Yehudit. But now he's, Netanyahu was accused of going back on other agreements and apparently causing a crisis of confidence. And without Shas, there will be no government. So it's important that somehow today or within the next few days, there will be some further progress because, as I've said before, the number of compromise opportunities that Likud has left to them is becoming increasingly limited.
But did he forget he went to prison for fraud? I mean, it's
well, who was that? I mean, that seems to have been in a different life completely.
Right,
a different life.
Another coalition, I mean, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of not something that apparently has entered into the negotiations at all.
But isn't that a bizarre thing? A guy goes to prison for fraud and is offended that he doesn't have the finance ministry role.
Not only that he goes to prison for fraud, but he goes to prison for fraud while the Minister of the Interior, and now it would appear is as though he will be back at the scene of the crime before long. So for some of us, it certainly is a little strange. I don't think it sends a very positive picture to the outside world about how Israeli politics pans out, because I think that this is certainly a very, very strange situation indeed. Unfortunately, we cannot ignore the fact that Aryeh Deri is the leader of a Shas party, which has secured 11 seats in the Knesset. So that means that more than 10% of the voters in this, sorry, not more than 10%, let's start again, almost 10% of the voters in this country whose votes were counted in to making up the Knesset, almost 10% voted for his party, in spite of the fact that the leader of their party had been convicted of fraud and sent to prison. So does that say something about Israeli politics, or does it say something about
I think it's global politics.
Citizens?
Yeah, I have no idea. 34519 or 0618951019. What do you think that it says? A secret Ukrainian military delegation is reported to be in Israel. I love these secret delegations, and then we speak about them on radio.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
how about a worst kept secret in the world?
They were secret until not too long ago. But yeah, I mean, this was, I think, supposed to be secret. These secrets that we read about in the newspaper and that we discuss in public, I think, are supposed to be secret. But obviously, very, very sensitive indeed, because Israel is trying to tread a very, very narrow path between annoying the Russians completely and supporting the Ukrainians. And it's been a very, very difficult thing for the now outgoing Lapid government to manage to secure. And he's come under a great deal of criticism from Ukrainian President Zelensky, who is continuing to ask for Israeli weapon systems. And at least from what we understand, has not been getting anything, any of these requests filled for the weapon systems in order for Israel to somehow try to maintain a level of cordiality with the Russians. And that seems to have kind of worked so far. But apparently this military delegation that visited Israel recently had some very, very senior army officers whose rank apparently is equivalent to kind of a deputy chief of staff in the IDF, someone who's very, very senior in the Ukrainian military. And the public story that's being told is that they came to Israel for a series of meetings involving senior IDF and Ministry of Defense officials for the purpose of promoting the construction of the anti-missile warning system, which Israel has said it will supply to the Ukraine. So Israel is trying to supply a system to Ukraine which is not considered to be some sort of a combat system. It's an anti-missile warning system, which apparently is something which will help to protect innocent civilians rather than get involved in a combat role. It seems strange to me that such a senior delegation would come to Israel to discuss that system. That's me kind of reading between the lines, and I have no other information or rumors to go on other than for me just to look at this and say it's not all exactly stacking up as it's being told in the public. And it's going to also be very fascinating to see what happens when the Netanyahu government takes office, what their strategy and policy will be with regard to the war in Ukraine. What we also have heard as a separate aside is that Israel has apparently been supplying intelligence information to Ukraine, amongst other countries, about Iranian things, about things that are going on in Iran, whether it be regarding the construction of the drones that have been supplied to Russia, which now apparently Russia will be constructing on site in Russia under some Iranian help, with some assistance from the Iranian regime to get the construction of these drones into Russia. But we understand that there has certainly been intelligence information shared. So Israel is kind of doing whatever it can to help the Ukrainian war effort without overstepping the mark, such that at least in public, the Russians may say, you've done too much and we're going to somehow penalize you or cut you off or you know, make things very, very unpleasant for you with regard to our presence in southern Syria. So it's a very, very difficult path to tread. Clearly, the Israeli government trying to support the Ukrainian war effort, but very, very nervous to push the Russians over the line.
Very, very fine line that they are walking. Israel's unemployment rate is on the rise. What's contributing to this?
So I think that there is just a general increase in global unemployment in the period after the after period of the pandemic. We know that Israel has been through a period of very, very low unemployment until quite recently, but we have seen the increase at one stage back in April, the unemployment rate was as low as 3.1%. More recently now, we understand that the unemployment rate has risen 1.2%. So in September, going into October, unemployment is now standing at around 4.3%, which is also not a tragic number. It's not a terrible number. It's a pretty good number when you compare it to other world economies. And yet the increase is slightly worrying. And this increase is coming alongside rumors within the high-tech industry in general that there are massive layoffs of high-tech workers. And those layoffs will certainly have an impact on the Israeli economy and, of course, unemployment rates in Israel. And it is understood that with the capital markets being so much lower than they were, and with valuations going down quite dramatically, that impact is transferring from the publicly listed companies where we've seen the stock exchange prices come down over to privately owned companies. Now, the privately owned companies, of course, their valuations are not linked to stock exchange, but somehow or another, they have to fall into line. And there's no possible way that a company that was valued, let's say, at $1 billion a year ago and was alongside a similar publicly listed company that was valued at $1 billion a year ago, and now that publicly listed company is probably worth half the value, we can't expect that the private company will still have the $1 billion valuation. Somehow that valuation has to come down, and alongside the private valuations coming down comes a difficulty in raising money. And the moment we have a difficulty in raising money, of course, there is this issue about how many people the high-tech sector is employing, and people will be laid off as a result of the difficulty that it currently exists to raise more money into these private companies. So in this post-COVID period, unfortunately, with the interest rates going up and with unemployment going up and with inflation, they're struggling to keep inflation under control, not only in Israel, but indeed around the world. There is a huge squeeze and a major challenge for the incoming government and the finance minister to have to deal with when he eventually puts his feet under the table.
It really is a very serious one, because this type of thing can move completely in the wrong direction because there's a lot of public sentiment around this, isn't it?
It's about confidence.
It's about saying, you know, we're really doing something fantastic and magical here. And the minute we start to lose that confidence, it can come tumbling down in a way.
What's interesting about the unemployment rate is not only that the number of job seekers has gone up relative to what it was earlier, but in fact, apparently quite a number of people have even given up their search for work, which is an interesting concept, and I haven't seen reported in the economic press before. And all of that means that whereas a short while ago, the proportion of the population of the workforce was around 61.2%, now more recently it's being reported as down to 60.3%. And as I say, that's being contributed to not only by people who are searching for work, but indeed people who have given up searching for work. And, you know, one wonders how they're able to survive without the income if they've given up their search for work. So all in all, worrying signs in the economic sector and a huge challenge ahead over the next year or two.
That's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Wright, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.